From Deep Inside the Death Star, I'm Andrew Richards.
And I'm Gov Maharaj.
And welcome to Defrag Tools, the show that takes you inside Microsoft and inside Windows. Gov and I were just geeking out about commands that we use all the time. And we kind of realized that we probably should tell you guys what our favorite commands are. So console commands, where the rule is console only, so no Windows, nothing else. Have to be used in the last week. There's a couple we're allowed to push out to the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But in general, what do you use every week as part of your job? So let's bring up a command prompt.
Yep.
And start into it. I think we should start with some really obvious ones that I think people might know, like ipconfig.
Okay.
Ipconfig's used to show you the ipconfig.
Yeah, and my canonical one is ipconfig whack all.
So why don't you just use the ipconfig straight?
Well, let's take a look. So
I tend to only use ipconfig straight because I tend to only want to know what my IP address is. Do you tend to want to know more? What's your thinking behind that?
So there isn't too much difference between ipconfig and ipconfig all, but ipconfig all will tell me more about all of the interfaces on the system, not just your current interface.
You do get the gateway address and the DNS only in all, right? I don't think you get them in ipconfig. But anyway, ipconfig, very quick way of working out what your networking is. I use it a fair bit for Wi-Fi and stuff to work out, you know, did it connect and all that type of stuff. Sure, you could use the taskbar icon and do it that way.
Oh, but no. Because when I want my IP address, I also want to copy my IP address.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
And
because the very next command is, you're going to ping maybe the gateway, right? And so...
Yeah, let's take a look at our gateway, which will show...
You should make this font a little bit smaller, I think. I think you're hurting yourself.
I can do that.
I mean, it was great that we made it big for the show, but I think you're pushing it a bit. I think it try 24. There we go. That's a nice step. Double click on the taskbar. Best way of doing maximize. None of this maximize button rubbish. Double click the title bar. Oh, sorry, not taskbar, title bar. Double click on the title bar for maximize is the best.
Can't remember. Is that what I did or not?
That's what you did, that's what I'm saying. Okay. Rather than trying to use the icons.
Yeah, so I did it subconsciously. I was like, did I do that? I don't know.
We're breaking our rule though, so we've got to stay in the command prompts.
Yes.
So ipconfig, definitely copy-pasting IP addresses and then following up with a ping command. Tends to be more things like you're pinging your DNS server, pinging the gateway, stuff like that, just to work out what you can talk to. The slight problem with ping is you've got to have ICMP enabled on the server, and so that kind of can limit its effectiveness, right? You won't get the response packet. You were saying that you use Traceroute.
I do use Traceroute.
I don't tend to use it. So why do you find that you use it?
When I'm trying to diagnose why something might be slow, or I use VPNs a lot as well, so I will use Traceroute to make sure that I'm going to...
Through the VPN.
It's not something that is like all the time kind of thing, but it's for troubleshooting. Traceroute is...
So Traceroute is TraceRT. We should probably just trace that.
Right.
My favorite is... put an E in there. My help. Put an E in it. I like to trace 9msn.com just to show how big... That's an N-I-N-E, sorry. MSN, no dot, 9msn.com. So 9msn.com is the Australian version of msn.com. And it's just a good way of seeing, if you want to see how big the planet is, just see that, you know, we're in the Redmond, you know, not about opposite on the planet, but not far from it. I know that this data center is in Adelaide, which is kind of in the middle of Australia at the bottom. You're not going to get that many places that are, for us, that are more diagonally opposite on the planet. Perth is about the other coast is about where it is. And so you can see these milliseconds are getting bigger and bigger. It takes a long time to get to Australia and back again.
It does.
Optic fiber only has a certain limit. And the fiber goes from Redmond, across to Hawaii, to Singapore, down through Asia, down through the top of Australia, Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, then across to Adelaide. So there's a long optic fiber tracing across the planet, right? So, Traceroute, that's kind of cool. You got any other favorite networking ones? What's about it?
Oh, for networking, those are my go-tos.
Yeah,
NBT stat, netstat, occasionally.
The one I do use is ipconfig flash DNS.
Yes.
And the other one is arp minus and? A asterisk, which is, or minus D asterisk, whatever it is. I have to look up the help. So ipconfig flash DNS will flush your DNS entries, which is like IP DNS. ARP will flush your MAC cache. So like I know that your machine's over there on the networking because of MAC to MAC. That's actually how it really works. And so sometimes I flush the IP, the DNS cache, and I flush the ARP cache.
Do you know that there are, in fact, four commands for ipconfig to ensure that you get your proper DNS entries?
No.
So what you want to do is an ipconfig flush DNS. Okay, I'm not actually going to do it. And then what you want to do is a release.
Yep. So you drop your DHCP release.
And then a renew. And then a register DNS.
So that's the one where that's dynamic DNS, right? So it says, by the way, my machine now is at this address in the corporate DNS server. It tends to be update the record. And the time to live on these corporate DNSs tends to be quite short, right? It's not like it's a year, right?
No, not a year. I think it's like an hour.
Yeah, it's small, right? Yeah, cool. So that's networking. How about we do something to do with, I don't know, environment variables?
So set X.
I tend to use set not to look at the whole thing, because if you type set, you'll find it's a lot.
Yep.
I tend to do something like set space P, and you don't put an asterisk on it. So it says, I guess it will filter it to the ones with P on the front. And particularly I use this for the debugger environment variables, which all start with underscore. I don't know if you have any set on your machine. You don't have any, but
no.
The three debugger ones are all underscore blah. So it's a very quick way of working out what your debugger symbol path and source path and symbol cache path are. Set is per, so if you
per
read
session.
Read or write it, it's per that console, right?
And your inherited processes underneath it.
So
assuming that you inherit your environment.
From that point onwards.
Yeah.
So if you start, set it and then launch an app, that guy will get the settings. If you want to be more persistent about that, there is set X. And this is kind of the way you do scripting, like if you're going to making a batch file or something. You can set it at the user level.
At the machine level.
And the machine level. If you're doing it at the machine level, obviously you have to be elevated. And
yep.
So set X space, and then it's like foo space bar. The set command has an equal sign in the middle. This one doesn't, always throws me, always get them back to front. But set X is set X foo space bar, and that will make the foo environment variable equal to bar.
And then when you start up a new command prompt, it'll be set there.
Yeah.
It'll be set if you restart your machine, blah, blah, blah.
And if you, I'm not going to do it because it breaks the rules, but if you press Windows pause, which is one of the most underrated shortcut keys, most people don't even have a pause key anymore. That's why it's underrated.
You need a 104 keyboard.
It brings up the Windows property dialog, and on that page, bottom left corner, is the hyperlink to bring up environment variables.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know of any faster way of bringing up the Windows environment variable dialog than Windows pause.
No. I mean, to me, the fastest way is...
Right-click and go properties.
Yep.
The other thing that's slowly gone out of...
And advanced system settings.
Yeah, that's the environment variables down the bottom.
Yep.
The other thing that I found that's slowly fading away for shortcuts is Alt-Enter. That used to be bring up properties on everything, and it's a pity that's kind of fading away. So we've done networking, we've done environment variables. I'm a fan of the where command. I don't know if you use the where command.
I use it a lot, actually.
So the where command is kind of, talking about environment variables, is a way of working out kind of like how your path environment variable is working. And so where space notepad, you don't have to fill it out. It can be, you don't have to do the .exe part of it. And it'll tell you the search path that you're going to go through. So you might be trying to run something and some obscure thing runs. You go, why is that happening? And this will give you the list of places.
But it is contingent on your path environment variable.
Yeah.
So if you're not able to find something using where, then double check your path and see that, you know, the thing that you're looking for is actually in your path.
And same thing with sequencing. You might want to reverse the order of something in your path.
Speaking specifically about the path, there is a limit to the length, and not only is there a limit to the length, but it also takes time to go and search for things when you have...
Very costly.
It's very costly. So when you're, for example, launching something and it's not able to find it, or it's launching the wrong one, look for parsing issues in your path. Mm. You can obviously check it here. You can check it from the actual environment variables that the system itself knows about. Right? So you can check your path here. And this
now,
will tell you.
I love how we've now got this new dialogue.
Yes, this is relatively recent. I want to say, 1703?
Yeah, it was definitely 2017 era. Yeah. There's one of the two in there.
This is very, very handy. And this, at least if you look here, this will tell you the basic path variable that is set for when your system itself starts up. So if you look here and you see a different one in your command prompt, it means that it is likely an amalgamation of what you have set for your machine and your user. Or depending on what spawned your CMD window, it could have also added stuff. So it means your Explorer could have different things in its path set by something else.
So if you have a user path, how does that work? Does it concatenate them or does it take control?
No, the user path is searched first and then the system path, but it's essentially it's a concatenation.
So it's actually an abnormality with environment variables. Nearly every single environment variable a user will override the machine, and that's the only one you would see. So path is a special case of that. I noticed that, if you want to bring up the dialogue, I think it was easier to see. I noticed that some of them have trailing slashes on them, some of them don't. Do you know if there's a standard around that?
No.
I mean, obviously we support both because obviously it's working, but my OCD likes it without the slashes. I think it's cleaner, but cool. So
it definitely... poses issues for certain types of parsers and the way that folks will add additional variables to the end, right? Because in order to parse, some folks are simply looking for a semicolon, some folks might be looking for a semicolon and a slash.
Yeah.
All of the issues that I've received with paths are not ones where users have added variables, it's when something programmatically has added it and added it incorrectly.
Yeah. So let's move on to, so we've done kind of like networking, set environment variables, where, which kind of maps to the path environment variable. How about some string stuff? What's your favorite string commands?
Oh, find str, of course.
Find string. I have a batch file in my Windows folder. It's probably not the best place for it, but in my Windows folder called f.cmd. And it's just find string. And the reason I have it is it has slash n. So slash n tells you to list the line number.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only don't I have to type find string, I just have to type f, but it automatically puts on the slash n for me, which I just personally find useful. And then I just have percentage one, percentage two, percentage go.
My favorite, and I do it subconsciously, is find str wax spin.
So you can... I think people may not know this. You can do it both ways. You can go slash s, slash p, slash I, slash n, or you can just shove them together. The one I do that, this is actually from last episode, so if you want to learn about Windows Update application migration logs, there's this particular words that you want to look for, this SDB driver. And
this is just a regular expression search.
Yeah.
Right, so it's you're looking for your term, dot star, which is any number of characters, wildcard, and then true, and it finds this entire line, and basically it's the line number part that's important here.
That's the slash n I was talking about.
Yep.
So slash s is subdirectories.
Yep.
I don't know what the p is. What's the p? Is that the pattern? That makes
pattern.
It regex.
Yep.
So that's what the difference is between regex and not. I is case insensitive,
yep.
I for insensitive, and n is line number, n for number. The other one I use is slash c. For character, explicit character.
Yep.
So if I'm looking for like a backslash or a quote or something like that, in particular, like some of these XMLs have the, you know, value equals true. Well, you would go slash C,
colon,
quote, start the system, backslash quote to give you a escaped double quote, value equals slash quote, true, slash, quote, quote. And that way you can get these, these harder to type ones. FineString is great. I think FineString is underrated. Particularly, do you tend to use FineString in a chain? So I tend to do a FineString with something basic, and then I will pipe it into FineString again and filter. Now, I particularly use this for source code, and you wouldn't really think of FineString as being a source code thing, but this happened yesterday. I knew there was a variable in the code to do with the PID, and I just couldn't work out what it was. So I went, but I didn't know if it was process ID or PID. So I just went, it had a prefix, which was attribute underscore, found all the attributes. And then I piped it in and went, find all the IDs. And then voila, I had it. Because it was a gap between attribute underscore and ID. I suppose I could have done it wildcard like this with a pattern, but you know, old school versus new school.
Well, it's literally the more than one way to do it kind of thing, right? And that's why Founster is so powerful. Another way of doing it would be through PowerShell scripting and having it done through objects and piping it through that way. Because there's a lot, like PowerShell regex searching is significantly more powerful than this.
And particularly you can pull out fields after you've got it and
you
make
can
tables
it.
And format it.
The one thing that...
Sort it.
The one thing with Finster is Unicode support. It gets tripped up over the difference in files if it's ANSI versus Unicode.
Okay.
Especially on earlier OSs, so something to be aware of. What I've had to do in earlier ones for Finster is actually go S space D space blah blah, you know, and actually make it filled out as for Unicode like in order to find it correctly.
Do you find that just a personal choice? Do you write files as UTF-8, which is kind of like the ASCII table,
or
UTF-16?
I know I prefer UTF-8. It's least amount of bytes. More parsers for UTF-8 is more standardized across everything.
If people make the ASCII mistake, it still works, kind of. Yeah.
UTF-16 just takes up too much space.
Yeah. It's a lot of zeros for no good reason. Yeah. So
artificially compresses well.
Yeah, that's true. So FineString, actually, one of the good commands to do with strings, and it's slightly orthogonalized, is the clipboard.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you've got one of any output, I don't care what the output is, okay, ipconfig, you can pipe it. Now, this is a pipe command, not the redirect. So pipe says put it into another program, and this is like FineString pipe FineString. This has piped it, the final one, into the clipboard. And I do this all the time. I don't want to like pipe it out. The other option would use, you could have used greater than like t.txt. The number of t.txt on my hard drive is ridiculous. And then you just, I guess, going to open it. Mm-hmm. Actually, talk about that. You could then type it is, ironically, you tend to put into t.txt these massive commands, this debugger spew, whatever it is, or output spew of a command. Then you FineString it, and then you put it in the clipboard again, and then it's kind of like this filtering on filtering on filtering. And it's quite powerful. So there's a benefit of it either way, but I love the clipboard support. I use that all the time.
Yep.
And talking about that, what I just said, the type command. So if you've got a text file, you just go type space. Text file, t.txt that you may have generated. What was the command you said you used? Echo.
Echo, yeah, so mostly in scripts. Do you know about the at echo? If you stick the at symbol before
makes it quiet.
Makes it quiet. Well, it makes the echo itself quiet.
Yes.
Right, so if you just have echo, you'll see the command echo and then the thing that you're trying to echo.
So we can go echo foo. And you'll see foo, but if you have it in a script, you'll actually see it
execute
echo foo. Yeah. Yep. And so at sign does that. So on all my scripts, I have at echo off, which turns that off. Then I can type everything in normal. And then, so echo is great. And the
I have another cool one about just creating a text file. You could use something like type con.
Oh, do this all the time.
Do this all the
time. Copycon and typecon.
Yeah. Foo.txt, and then you just start typing, right? Foo, and you Control Z. Errors
while processing. Do you copycon or typecon? I do copycon.
Yeah, I mean, I've done both.
The great thing about copycon is DOS key works.
Oh, jeez.
Whether you've run a file, yeah, but it would have run out.
No, I'm in another unelevated CMD prime and trying to do it to SQL.
Which is great. You're not meant to be doing that. Yeah, I tend to use CopyCon a lot to make temporary batch files. You write this, you know, huge complex command. You go, you know, I do not want to lose that command. And you go CopyCon t.cmd and use DOS key, press up and down and stuff, and get your command there. Control Z, keep it done. We can't miss the big one that we both use probably the most, CLS. So we're both laughing at this. It's like clear screen. So in the debugger, in the Windows debugger, it is .cls.
Yes, and every time I want to clear the screen, I will invariably do .cls, see the error and go, crap, CLS.
Now, what's annoying is that with the dot, it's not possible to alias in any way,
right?
Because it's looking for like an extension. So we can't even hide our mistakes through some clever batch file to get around it. But yeah, CLS, and you said Q and QD, which is quitting a debugger session rather than typing exit, is the other one. Well, hopefully that was some enjoyable commands for you guys. We'll have them all obviously listed all below. Make them your friend, get used to them. The more you know them, the more powerful you'll be, more productive you'll be, and quite frankly, they're just fun to know.
I'm finding them even more useful than I ever have interacting with remote machines.
Mm. Yeah, this whole cloud world has kind of forced us back into the command line.
It's just so much faster. I mean, I set up on all my machines OpenSSH. We now include it as one of our optional packages. So I've now got that set up so I can do a VPN. And then instead of doing the heavyweight remote desktop to my dev box, I can just SSH into it and do whatever I need. If I want to run a build, okay, piece of cake. I don't need my full desktop environment for that. I just need a console.
Awesome. So if you have a favorite command, shove them in the comments below or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com or defragshow@microsoft.com. And we might have another episode and go through those commands as well. As always, thanks for watching, and we will see you next time.
Take care.